network of the underground kind of punk and grunge type of scene across Canada. So they were touring. Shades toured like no one else ever has toured in hip hop, I think. So they
were touring with alternative and punk bands like
exactly.
Bad Brains and
Yeah, and
Lagwagon.
then exactly, and that was like, you know, their whole lane opened up for them, and you know, they the stage experience that Shades has is like unrivaled. Man, like they've been on thousands of shows, like it's ridiculous. So they, you know, they found their niche and took off that way. But for most English rap and Canadian rappers, you know, there was never really much infrastructure here in Canada for them, right? So your goal was to get into the States, and it still is, man. It's sad to say, but most MCs have to go stateside to really blow up, right? But so yeah, so Chuck always had projects. A lot of them you could see on my YouTube channel, some of the tracks.
About to ask you. So when you say that you guys worked on EPs and stuff, some of that work is the stuff that you posted on your YouTube channel.
That's right. Yeah.
Those tracks are crazy, man. Like those.
Yeah, man. Yeah, like Chuck was always, you know, right in there. And you know, even at the time, in the 90s, I think there's a track with you know, Dave One produced a track for Chuck with him and Manchild, I think. No, I don't know. That was Mr. Lin and Manchild. But, you know, there's tons of tracks. If you search Chuck Ice, even after working with me, he went on to do even more. Because he kind of moved, I think, towards Toronto and Ottawa for a while and branched out there and did some big things. And now, you know, Chuck is now working for Cash Money Records. Cash Money Records as an A&R, and he's helping the next generation get on. So, you know, Chuck's definitely someone that, you know, hopefully, you know, he could get on some interviews and tell his story. Cause
oh yeah, for sure, man. Definitely want to hear. Yeah,
he's got a lot of work he's done over the years, and I've always kind of worked with him, right? So. Even on Dubmatic, he has some writer credits on that. We could talk about that.
Well, yeah, that's that's what I saw for, I think it was for Soul, at least Soul Pleureur. I think what I heard is that he helped write the hook.
Yeah, so, I mean, Chuck, just to kind of explain, like Chuck's always... been a wicked MC, but he could also write songs, and he could write R&B songs, and you know, he comes from like a background, like his mom used to sing with the Montreal Jubilee Choir, right? So he's always had that R&B influence, and he's one of the only people I would trust to help produce a chorus, an R&B chorus, because I don't know nothing about, you know, R&B and harmonizing and stuff like that, where I would always work with someone who knows if ever it was singing on one of my songs, right? And so Chuck was the guy I would go to. So I brought him in on the Dubmatic album to help me get some choruses right. And he came up with some, you know, to this day, some choruses that people are still probably singing. You know, so yeah,
do you remember which ones that he
so I know on, so because we have three songs on the first album. There was Soul Pleureur, there was Force de Comprendre, that has Desi DeLauro singing in the chorus, and another one with Plus Rien Est Pareil with I know he worked on probably all three. In the end, I think he's, you'll see his name in the credits.
So Plus Rien Est Pareil, you see it because it's Sea Husbands, right? So,
yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so I see him there. Force de Comprendre, he's there as well.
Yeah.
And Soul Pleureur, it doesn't say that.
Yeah, no, I don't know.
I had heard that from in the Diesel Jérôme Philippe interview he did with Rap Politique. he talked about that. But if you're saying that, you know, maybe he just, his memory got mixed up with other tracks. I don't know, but.
Right. No, so that, no, that's correct. Because Barnev, I think Barnev wrote that chorus. And, you know, I got to give props to Barnev for Soul Flare, because that's, you know, that's a classic, you know. But, you know, Chuck was around kind of overseeing the R&B aspect on those songs for me. Just because I trust his judgment. And, you know, he definitely knows. If you listen to a lot of his stuff, whenever there's some R&B on it, it's on point. And like he usually is writing that and coaching singers how to get it right. So it's definitely another one of the skills.
Yeah, man. Yeah. So now that we're touching on that, like, let's talk about the transition to Dubmatic and
right.
And how, yeah.
You know, I worked with other groups.
There's a Shades, some sort of Shades connection with that as well.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, so I think I first saw D-Soul rapping at, there used to be a night at Metropolis called the Savoy. And it was in one of the rooms at Metropolis, and it was like more kind of jazzy hip hop type of vibe. And they had open mics. So I remember seeing going down, and I think, you know, D-Shade was up on stage, and some dude grabbed the mic and started rapping in French. And it was nice. Like, I was like, sounds nice. Cause at the time, you know, I didn't French rap. Like, we know about Solar. We definitely, I mean, just to clarify, I mean, like, Quebec had French rap back in the Zero Tolerance days with MRF. And that's my boy Cool Rock, who put that first record out. So we got to mention that first, just to be chronologically correct. So in 91 or 92, MRF put out their 12-inch.
MRF at Davy V,
and Cool Rock, Zero Tolerance, we opened up for them in those days. We went and did a show in, I remember, in Drummondville, and we opened up for MRF because we weren't out yet. And Cool Rock was always down with the crew. Like, he was always around as a DJ before. And then one day he's like, I'm rapping in French, and people were bugging out, like, you're rapping in French. Like, it was unheard of. And he was like, yeah, man, he was serious about it. And we're like, all right. And the beat was dope. That beat was DJ X from Toronto produced those two beats.
I was going to say, man, like, my homie Rich out in Toronto, he was linked up with Beat Factory at that point and doing work with them. And he said that, he's like, do you know MRF? Because when they came to Toronto, they came to Toronto to come do a track with DJ X, and I was there in the studio with them when they recorded it. And I was like, wow, that's crazy to hear. So now you're kind of talking about the other side of that.
Yeah, man. And just for the record, Gary T produced that. Gary T was behind that. So I think Gary,
like an executive producer,
executive produced the project. And so it came out like that beat was wicked, and the cuts scratching on it. You know, Cool Rock's a guy that, he was a hip hop DJ. He knew his hip hop. Like, he came from a strong hip hop background. And so when he did it, it sounded good, man. It was like, to this day, like, it sounds better than a lot of other French rap that came afterwards, right? Like, it's too bad that that didn't continue from the world wasn't ready, I guess, for it to, like it was later on, right? But we can't forget MRF. And just another note, his DJ, JT. And there's some videos out there, JT. JT was probably the best scratch DJ in Montreal in those days. He was as good as, like, Cash Money, who had just recently won, like, the DMC championships. JT was a wicked, wicked DJ. And I remember, man, we opened for him, and I was like, man, this guy is fucking making me look bad, man. he was so way ahead of me. So it kind of lit a fire under me to bring, get my scratching game up to par, because JT had it on the next level. And then he quit he just kind of quit after MRF, and we never heard from him again. But JT was another guy that kind of inspired me to get the cuts, the scratching up to par. And then after MRF, we also got to mention KC. He came next with his album in French, right? So
what year was that?
KC, I guess, was mid early 90s. Well, they're both early 90s. A couple years after KC came out.
Is that before or after he had the Rapsita show?
After, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Do you know why that show came to an end?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. But it definitely left a void, man, for a while for the hip hop scene. Like we were counting on that every week. Plus to hear all the tracks, like it was up to par with, you know, all the new American stuff was available to us, you know, the videos. Because other than that, people were trying to get, you know, U.S. Rap City. Was it Rap City with Dr. Dre and Ed Lover?
Yo MTV Raps.
Yo MTV Raps. Like, people would come back with tapes of Yo MTV Raps. And so that was kind of our, you know, our source. That and Much Music, too. Like, Much Music definitely came correct with Rap City over those years with Mike Williams. Like, you would see everyone roll through there. So back to, sorry, I went on a tangent there.
No, but, it's perfect, man. We gotta cover the ground.
Yeah, I know. There's, you know, and again, like, I'm hoping to shine light on as many people that were part of this with me, right? So I know I'm gonna forget some names, but I'm really trying to let people know about who else was there, because without them, none of it would have, you know, progressed the way it did. So yeah, like I said, like I saw D-Soul rapping, and he was nice. So he was rocking the crowd, and I was like, it's nice, but I didn't think much about it. Like, I wasn't like, oh, this is like the next big thing or anything. I was just like, yeah, this guy's nice. And I think D-Shade probably knew him from a couple of these open mic events. And at the time, like Solar, MC Solar was really the only French rap that people would think of, and we all thought Solar was dope, right? Like, even in the States, like, you know, it's down with Gangstar, and that that Solar album is a classic, you know? So I had, you know, heard that, and I didn't think French rap was gonna really be a big thing, right? So little while later, I got contacted by a guy by the name of Cédric Morgan, who was, he was managing Dubmatic, D-Soul, and OTMC. And they also had a radio show together at CISM, I think.
Yeah.
Or one of the community radio stations. And the show was called Dubmatic. It was a radio show called Dubmatic, and they were playing French rap from France and stuff. They were, you know, that was the show. Was all about playing French rap. So, like, he came. So Cedric contacted me and said, look, we want to contract you to make 7 beats for my band, right? And I'm like, all right. You know, at the time, I was working with still different groups. You know, I had done a project with Tape MC. His group was called The Mishaps. Before that, they were known as Positively Fly. I was working with them at the time. Shades still doing some tracks here and there. Still working with Chuck.
And so you posted some Mishap stuff up on the
Mishap stuff is out there.
Go check that out. Yeah.
And Mishaps, just to say, like, I work with DJ Genius on that project. He had one of the main singles on it, and he went on DJ Genius, Jeremy Harding. I don't know if people have heard the name, but he went on to produce Beanie Man, Sean Paul. So he was here in Montreal at the time as a hip hop DJ and producer, and a friend of mine in those days. Like, we were hanging.
He came up during the DJ Storm interview.
Yeah, for sure. We got to shine light on that, because he did a lot with a lot of groups. J Soul, Corporal, even Easy G, who Mr. FaZe, I can't forget. These are all MCs and groups that came up. And Genius actually was at one point, even Zero Tolerance, like we were kind of part of that clique in those days. DJ Genius had his team of, or like he was his production team, and he was producing a bunch of these rap groups. And him and Romero was partners with him on that. So he did a lot to kickstart a lot of this kind of wave. These are all still English groups, but J Soul was big. Like J Soul made a lot of noise in Montreal. So again, DJ Genius, can't forget. Big shout out to Jeremy, hope all is well. So back to Dub Matic. Sorry, I got to get these names in there, man. I'm telling you.
You know, the tangents help it helps the whole, you know, it helps the whole vision of what happens. So it's good.
Yeah. So, you know, so here I am, you know, I'm producing now. I'm playing in clubs. Like I'm living the hip hop life now. Like I'm playing in clubs. I've got a couple club nights going. I'm making beats during the day. So it's a good time for me. Like it's, you know, I'm able to kind of really focus on hip hop only, which was a big part of being able to take it to the next level, right? So I'm in the studio every day making beats, different groups. So Cedric Morgan shows up. He's like, yo, I got these guys. Here's a tape. You know, we want to make 6 songs with you or 7 songs, and we're going to pay you. And I'm like, all right, you know, if you're paying, like, let's listen. But he handed me a tape of them on a Cut Killer radio show. Cut Killer from France, right?
Yeah.
Not radio show, but mixtape.
Yeah.
And I listened to it, and I was like, you know, it's the most French rap I had heard ever. Like, I didn't hear French rap like that yet. And I'm like listening to it. I'm trying to understand, do I like this? Or like, is this on point or not? Because I have no reference, right? So I'm listening. And, you know, D-Soul was rapping in English on this thing too. So I was like, I wasn't feeling the English rap. But then OTMC has a verse on there that sounded nice. And I was like, so I was debating on, because my thing with French rap is that, you know, I'm comparing you to the US rap and American hip hop always. Like,
yeah,
just because you're rapping in French, like it's got to be on point with all the different levels, right? Like the, you know, the cadence and the flow and all of that's got to be on point. Or I'm not going for just that, oh, it's in French, right? So I'm trying to analyze and see at what level these guys are really at. And the more I listened to them, the more impressed I was at the skill and how, you know, how good these guys were. You know, like I was really critical at first because, you know, I knew Solar, I liked Solar, but I hadn't liked anybody else I heard, right? So so it got to the point where, you know, I started working on tracks and we immediately, you know, we're kind of connecting beat wise and lyrically. Like I saw the skill level. Like these guys came in ready, like they were hungry. They had songs and I would give them beats and, you know, they turned that around quickly. So we came up pretty quick with a six song demo.
You remember what those first
some of them made it to the first album. So one was the big track was Montréal, Paris, Dakar, which became our kind of, you know, our symbol, like, because that's literally, I'm Montreal, Paris is OTMC, Dakar is D-Soul. And that was like the concept, right? It was a concept behind it was, we're connecting these three, it's like a triangle, you know, we're connecting three parts of the world right now. So, you know, and we had a song called Maria Paris Dakar that made it to the album, but the first version of it didn't sound like what made it to the album. But that was the first track. We had think Itia Marial was on that demo. Soul Plural wasn't there yet. That came later. So it was, you know, it was a few tracks, you know, and then we started performing, doing some shows. Like at one point I was like, you know what? Like we're really on connecting here. And I was like, I'm not going to charge you guys, man. Let's just do this. Like I'm believing in this project. Let's just work. You know what I'm saying? So it became quickly, not about just getting paid for beats. Plus, you know, we weren't really getting paid much for making beats in those days. You know, it was just symbolic, really. So, so that, you know, we quickly got along. And, you know, for me too, like with Dubmatic, because my background, I'm Algerian, right? And North African background. And
yeah, it was like a tri-African connection with you guys.
Yeah, so we you know, we would joke about that, you know. But we definitely, when it comes to like family values and things like that, like we had a lot in common, like like the way his parents were, a lot like how my parents were, you know, we really connected more on, you know, the kind of that kind of cultural thing. And for me growing up in NDG, there were no, I'm Algerian, right? So there were no Algerians in NDG. You know what I'm saying? So I didn't have anyone really from my part of the world or my culture around me. So I felt like that we kind of connected that way. So it was a deep connection between us, like, you know, on a personal level. And then it translated to the music. Like we, you know, we definitely were vibing well together. So yeah, that's really how we first linked up. And then that became, you know, the project, like, let's push this demo out. And at the time, just like with Chuck, we'd go to New York. This demo, we had to go to Paris. We would go to Paris and push it. I remember we got booked at the Franco Folie in La Rochelle, which is in France. There's a festival there, like the one we have here in Montreal, but in France, it's every year they'll pick three groups from Quebec. And we got picked to go. So we weren't out yet, but we had our, you know, we had our 6-7 songs now. We were starting to, you know, keep working towards that. So we went to France for 2 weeks and we went to all the labels in Paris and dropped our tape to all the big labels that were in those days in Paris. And then we did a couple shows in La Rochelle, came back, made some connections there. At the show, we were the same bill with, I don't know if you know, Duck Génico from France. Yeah. So yeah. But he's part of like Ministère Amer and these guys that were big, like these are big groups. So, you know, we were trying to make our way that way going to France. We didn't think Quebec would even be interested in what we were doing, really. There was no precedent, right?
You guys were seeing France the same way that English, you were seeing New York, basically.
Exactly. Like, exactly. Yeah. We never even thought of trying to come out here. So we were trying to connect with French people and come out there. And OTMC's brother was in a rap group in Paris. So, you know, he was out on a label. He's in a group. They were called the Two Lust. They had a 12-inch out. So, you know, we were trying to get in there. We knew Solar. So Solar was...
And that was the link with the Cut Killer tapes too, right? Because it would be like Two Lust and yes, Dubmatic rapping right after.
That's where they first met Cut Killer via OTMC's brother, his group, and they brought Dubmatic in with them on that freestyle. Yeah. So, you know, we had some connects. We had Cut Killer, who was huge in Paris. So we were trying to go that way. And to the point where, you know, that didn't pan out. And then at one point there was a rapper from France shooting a video here in Montreal, Menelik. who Menelik is part of Solar's kind of family. So he was in Montreal shooting a video. And so, you know, forget if it was Dsul or both OTNC and Dsul. They're like, yo, there's this video shooting downtown. We're going to go check it out. You want to come? I was like, nah, I'm busy, whatever. You guys go. So they went and they brought our tape and they were trying to, you know, hand it off to Minute. There's a good connection to make, you know. And the guy that was filming the video is from Montreal, and a production company from Montreal was a guy by the name of Vincent Aigret.
Yeah.
And Vincent Aigret was shooting Menelik's videos. That's what he was a video producer, right? Or director. He heard our tape and he's like, he liked our tape and was like, you know, let me call you guys and let's talk about this. Because he had connects now in France. And he was like, I want to shop your tape, man. Give me let's sign. So we signed a kind of deal where, you know, third party kind of deal where he would shop us through his connects in France and stuff. And he also kind of helped us fine tune our demo. And that's when we actually made Soul Pleureur, because we had Soul Pleureur at the time with no chorus. We couldn't find a chorus where, like, we had the beat and the rhyme, and we knew this song was special. Like, we just needed a chorus. And I remember we first had kind of a reggae artist singing on the chorus, a guy by the name of Mellow G, who's a, you know, Montreal dance hall you know, veteran. Like, Mellow G, I don't know if you know that. We had been close to a bunch of dancehall artists because of Cedric, I think, was roommates with this guy called Trevor, who had a studio, who would produce a lot of the dancehall groups in Montreal, out in Burgundy. So the Young Lions, they were called. So we would hang out with them a lot. And so we were like, we had Mellow G singing a chorus, just kind of freestyling on it for a while. And we're like, yeah, it's just still missing something, you know. So we spent a lot of time with that track trying to know where to go with it, right? And then around that time,
Are they on the Too Hot to Handle tape? I think I saw
they might be. The Young Lions. Well, another big name from that click.
Sorry if I'm making a mistake, but I think.
No, you're right. But a big name from that click is Mikey Dangerous. Mikey Dangerous, he's on one of our tracks on the first of Mike. So he was part of the family there. And he made it on one of our songs.
Dear,
yeah. So, and that he was part of that clique, right? So, and I think Cedric was possibly roommates with you know, Trevor, who was like the lead of the, like, Young Lions kind of band and stuff. They also came to France with us when we went to La Rochelle. They were also on the bill, so we were hanging with them a lot. So that's how the Mikey Dangerous connection happened. You know, big shout out to all of, you know, that Young Lions crew. So Vincent Aigret now has our tape. He's going to help us shape it a little better to get us better chances of getting signed. So we're like, Soul Pleureur, we got to work this song because we all knew the potential. That's where we fine-tuned the Soul Pleureur song. And at that point, like I said, we didn't have a chorus yet. So Dsul told us about this guy that he saw in the club singing at I think Safari Club. You know, big shout out to my boy Stéphane Bellamy, who used to run that club, and from back in the days. So anyways, Barnett was part of a group, forget the name of their group.
Infinity.
Infinity, yeah. And they, Dsul had seen them perform live and told me about this guy, Barnett, you got to hear him. So I said, you know, I was for sure, let's hear him out, you know. So we had a studio in Old Montreal that we were working in, at Trebis Institute in Old Montreal. I remember Solar was in town and he dropped by that session. Okay, for some reason was in town. So, you know, it kind of like, it had all the makings for like being a special moment, You know what I'm saying? Like Solar popped up. You know, you're in old Montreal and MC Solar walks by and he's like, yo, what's up, guys? And we're like, come check us at the studio. It's like, it was random, man. Random, but, and again, so we get there, Barnev gets in the booth and just like almost immediately dropped that chorus on us, man. And we were like, man, that's big. You know, like we, all we knew really is we wanted an English R&B chorus because, you know, that was part of, you know, a kind of a theme you see in a lot of Dubmatic stuff. My thing was I wanted to showcase like Montreal's R&B strength, you know, because there are a lot of artists here from since my early days working with Freddie James, to people like Alan Prater, you know, all the different R&B singers that you would see in Montreal. I wanted to showcase that, right? So, and I wanted some English R&B. Anyway, so, but again, Diesel, we all had the same idea. We want a strong R&B chorus because that song was very personal, right? For Diesel.
So MC Solar was in the studio at that point?
I don't.
Or he was. Like, he was there when Barnev dropped that?
Like, I may be remembering it wrong because we may have been in that studio for a few days working, but.
Okay.
Solar was out in the, like, I came down, I used to smoke cigarettes at the time. I went down for a cigarette and I saw Diesel talking to Solar, like, and we were going back up to the studio. So I don't know how that happened, but I just remember it was very random because, like, before that, I'd never met MC Solar, you know, and he was there. And so it was probably that day. I don't know if he came up with us. He may have, but I remember just seeing him down on the street. We were, you know, just chilling. But either way, needless to say, Barnev did his thing, man. And
I heard that he had a cold that day.
Did he have a cold?
I heard that he had a cold. He did it, and then they brought him back to do it. Like you guys brought him back another day to like redo it, but he couldn't get the same feeling as that first take. Even if he had the cold, it gave some sort of texture to the whole thing. And you guys decided to keep the one with him sick. I heard that from Barnev's story and also from
Diesel's so everyone
story, you know,
there, so. Now you got the full picture. I mean, like that. Yeah, for sure. Like, I don't remember all those details, but I'm sure Barnev remembers that. And it was also, you'll hear at the end of the song, a female voice, and that's Pam Jackson.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that because, yeah, man.
She was on, like, I met her through Chuck. She sang on some of Chuck's tracks. And she came through on that and had done some just ad-libbing. But at the end of the song, you hear her voice. And it's,
yeah,
have to give her some props for that, too. But, yeah, and then, you know, we knew we had a big song. At that point, it all came together. And we knew we had something special. And I think Vincent at that point was able to get us label interest. And he ended up going to a Quebec label. The France connections didn't work. And he came to us and said, look, I got a Quebec label that is interested. And it was a company by the name of Tox Records. They had put out Mitsu and Les Bébés and these kind of groups, right? But they knew Quebec well. And they had huge success in Quebec. And they were interested in being, you know, probably the first to take a chance on hip hop seriously, right? And then we signed there, and they had their own studio. So we were able to work, you know, take our time, get everything recorded there. And then that's where we launched from. That was the launching pad. And they had what they had that was important was they had connections with all the radio stations, all the promoters around Quebec. They knew the terrain, right? And they pushed us in the same way they would push any kind of Quebec artist. And so we got into these doors that I didn't even know existed, really. And like, it wasn't even our plan to go focus on Quebec. We wanted to go to France and get come up that way, you know? So it was like really all new for us to be able to do that. Sorry, I just heard something. So that was that. Like we launched our album here. We shot a video for Soul Pleureur that Vincent Ingres, you know, directed. You know, he directed probably all our videos, I think.
And what about when was La Morale? Like when was that video shot?
Yes. So again, from my website, I have an old version. So while we were, so let me go back a bit. Before we met Vincent Ingres, like I said, our manager was this guy, Cédric Morgan, who was the original mm-hmm. manager. And he had got us together to shoot that video. So he, I think, may have kind of funded that video. And we were going to use it to shop ourselves. And, you know, Cedric's approach was always more underground type of progression. Like, he wanted to keep it indie and come up that way. And when we met Vincent Ingres, there was a bit of a disconnect with Cedric. He wasn't feeling that route. And we were like, well, this is an important connect for us. And we kind of went our separate ways at that point, amicably, but you know, Cedric had got us to that point. He wanted to continue with a more slow indie approach. And we were ready. Like, you know, we had been a couple years at it. Myself, I've been at it for 7 years. Like, I'm not going to turn down an opportunity to get to the next level now, right? So
yeah,
he didn't see eye to eye, and we, you know, we agreed to go our separate ways. And Cedric went on to do big things after us. He was the one who founded Mount Real Records and put out Sans Pression and Yvon Crevier.
Yeah.
So he did some big things.
Yeah, man.
And he did it his way, and you know, big props to him. Without him, you know, I think a lot of these other groups wouldn't have. Even the Too Hot to Handle mixtape, he's the one that produced that.
Okay.
He put all those people together. That was Cedric Morgan. So big shout out to Cedric. We definitely, you know, we are, you know, we owe him definitely some, you know, some recognition for helping us get to that point, you know, for sure. So that video is actually shot in Burgundy with a lot of the crew at that time, you know. That's so you can check that out.
It's a sick video, man. That's a great video. It's
I like it. That was our essence, right? Like, we were ready. Like, the way I see it, we were ready to now come out. Like, we were a solid group at that point, you know. It was more than just,
you can feel the hunger and the passion in the video. You know,
and these guys were hungry, but like, there was, trust me, like, they were very serious about doing this. So was I. And yeah, man, we were ready to come out. So yeah, I'm glad I found that. Like, I was during COVID, I went through some old tapes and, you know, started putting some stuff up that I felt was important for people to see.
Sure, man.
So yeah, I mean, that's
are there any other song, videos that you guys did that didn't hit?
No, that was the only one. There's some songs we did that I would like to find from our first demo that I would have liked to rework.
That was that part of the first demo as well?
That was part of it. That's one I'm probably one of the
for those listening, beats. It's a different beat than the album version. It's not the same beat.
Completely different, yeah. And the album version has Q-Bert on it, which was a big deal for me to get Q-Bert scratching on one of my tracks. That was wicked.
How did that come about?
So Q-Bert, So around this time when I'm working with Dub Matic, I'm also playing in clubs downtown a lot. We had a club night called On the Real, and it was a club called Voltaire on Prince Arthur and Saint Laurent, where it was pure hip hop all night, jam packed, and it was three freestyle sessions each night. And the freestyles were run by Shades and my boy Tactics. So we would have about a half hour of freestyle every hour on the hour, starting at midnight. But in between was like pure hip hop tracks, and the place was always packed. It ran for about a year and a half. It was always packed, and always interesting things going on there. So we had this banging club night going on, and the promoter and a guy who really helped me get my whole club DJ career going was a guy by the name of Willow Perron, who went on to do some big things after his time in Montreal, where he he was Kanye West's assistant at some point. He also produced some big shows for Drake and people like that. So Willow,
yeah, he did a lot of work with Ruckus Records too.
He worked at Ruckus. Like, he just took off after Montreal. He helped found Audio Research with Dave One, with released one of the D-Shade singles and Obscure Disorder.
Yeah,
I'm saying. So Willow had helped me kind of resurrect my DJ career at one point. Like, he was like, you know, he had the connects downtown, and he was like, he didn't like the fact that you couldn't hear hip hop in a club downtown on Saint Laurent. Like, you know, you'd have to go like to some neighborhood to hear a hip hop night, and even then, like, you probably, it wouldn't be well produced or anything. So he was big on, like, we need to bring hip hop downtown and do it properly, right? So he helped, you know, the flyers were tight. We had promo, we had good connects, and we built up this night. It was literally pure hip hop and freestyles, but it was like probably the hottest spot on Saint Laurent for a while. And everyone was coming through. So at the time, we got to the point where we started getting guests to come play. And Qbert was one that we brought down, Qbert, to come play a couple shows. And I was with I got to give shout out to my boy Crazy Eddie from 514 Productions. Him and Willow brought Qbert down. And so me, Storm, Devious, even Kid Koala at the time, we got to play with Qbert at Metropolis when he came. So we put together a kind of a four-man set with the guys I just mentioned, and Qbert was like the headline. So we all met Qbert, and he was like the coolest guy you could imagine. Scratched with us for like the whole weekend. Taught us all kinds of new tricks. Gave us his new scratch records. Like, he was just like the nicest guy, sharing his knowledge. And I happened to be in the studio with Dubmatic at the time, so I'm like, you want to scratch on a song? Like, we're coming out with an album soon. He's like, yeah, for sure, man. Just like that, I brought him in, let him hear the track, and he just kind of dropped his cuts on it, and blessed the track, man. But Qbert was a big influence for a lot of us in that time, to the point where, you know, he even came and when his next time around is when he met A-Track, and he actually came back to judge the Canadian DMC finals where A-Track won. I was one of the judges too, me and Qbert. I remember Mike Mission was one of the judges too. Big shout out to Mike Mission, Masters at Work, CKUT alumni. And that's when A-Track, shocked the world, man. Like, we were judges on that. And Qbert quickly picked up A-Track and brought him to San Fran after that to kind of join the Scratch Pickles. So, you know, Qbert had, you know, was around a few times in those days, and we all kind of got to know him. And again, that's when 8-Track kind of took off around that time too.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. So where did you guys record the La Force de Comprendre album?
So that was at the Tox. The Tox record label had their in-house studio, so okay. we recorded there.
Yeah, you said that was in old Montreal.
No, this was in. They had like a duplex that got converted into like an office on St. Hubert Street. St. Hubert, okay. north of Sherbrooke, a couple blocks north. So we had, we had access to the studio and we recorded there. We had some, you know, some guests come through. Derbel is a group from France. They came to perform here. We connected with them on one track. We had who else? We had one of the members of Mozaïen came through to sing on Voir pour le Croix, is one of the tracks with I think LD1 was her name. She came through. So, you know, we had time, we crafted the album there, and then that's pretty much where it launched from.
Yeah, man. LD1, Mozaïen.
Yeah.
So at the same time, you must have been maybe working on Mind State, on the Mind State album with Shades.
Was it probably? Yeah, I probably was. It could have been shortly after. But yeah, it was around that time. Yeah, okay. Still working on Mind State. And at that point, you know, Shades had branched out and had other producers. So I just had a couple tracks on that album. Yeah. And
Yeah, man, like that Shine track. I know I'm going back and forth between things. I'm just thinking about that time, you know, in general, like that. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking about the videos too, you know, like the really, really good videos from, you know, Soul Pleureur to...
Yeah,
La Force de Comprendre. Even at the same time, you had Shine, which is like a different vibe. But like, man, that's one of my favorite productions from you. You know what I mean? That, you know.
The, oh yeah, you like Mr. that one?
Len there, and it's just
Mr.
like
Mr. Len Sosa. Yeah, man. Yeah, I mean that video, and I got to give props to my boy Tactics. He's the one of the martial art experts in the video. So Tactics, and he's also done quite a bit of movie work, so that's why, like, some of the guys in that video are pro stunt movie guys, right? Including Tactics, he's my boy since day one. Like, you know, he was part of Shades, and we used to watch kung fu movies all the time. Like before Wu-Tang, like we'd be watching kung fu movies all day long. So we wanted to incorporate that into that that video. That was shot at Groove Society. So and at the time I was DJing at Groove Society. I had a night there. So that's a club down where was it again? Amherst.
Saint Denis
area. It was a big house club, and then I started a hip hop night there around the time Dubmatic was out. Because I remember playing Soul Player on my 12-inch in there. First time was a big night for me, but I had a club night there, and I think I arranged for us to shoot the video there. And yeah, that's a crazy video, man. But Shades is always, you know, that's always been the vibe with Shades. Like any one of their videos has got like some crazy stuff going on, and that's what I liked about, you know, working with them guys. But Tactics had a big role to play in the whole aesthetic martial arts sequencing, and you know, Tactics is in like some Van Damme movies and stuff. Like I remember meeting Jean-Claude Van Damme with Tactics one day when he came to shoot the movie Quest in Montreal. But you know, that's a whole other tangent.
Oh, that's
So yeah,
cool. That's
man.
cool.
Yeah.
But I
And
mean,
Mr.
that makes
Len,
me think
like,
of the
yeah.
go ahead, sorry.
Well, because
Mr.
you
Len, what?
mentioned Mr. Len, and you know, Mr. Len blessed that track. At the time, he was on a few tracks with us. You know, he's from Chuck Songs with Chuck to even the Dubmatic second album. He was featured on it. So, big shout out to Mr. Len Sosa. He's
Yeah,
got
man,
his
that's like an
group.
NDG anthem, man. That's like the DG anthem of
Is it
track. Like
nice, Selena?
if anything, I don't know if I could think of one track that was like, you know,
Nice, man. It's good to hear. Good
gonna
to hear.
rep
Because,
NDG. Like that feels like the one, you know what I mean?
yeah, because Len, too, is NDG, man. He's out here in TO now, too, with his group, Usual Suspects. He's still doing his thing. Should check him out.
Okay.
But yeah, he was part of the Bots Dynasty, another NDG, you know.
Yeah, man.
Big group from NDG. He was members with them. So yeah, man.
Yeah, man. So back to Dubmatique. You guys did a bunch of videos. You guys did Soul Pleureur, La Force de Comprendre. You did La Morale, like we talked about before
Yeah.
that. You did a track video for Plus Rien N'est Pareil.
Right.
And it seems like there's like an evolution going on. Like by the time you guys did Plus Rien N'est Pareil, it's like, oh, like you guys are you made it kind of thing, you know. We're showing you guys touring, we're showing you guys, you know, out there with, you know, real crowds and
Yeah.
everything. So how was that
Yeah.
evolution, and why did you guys choose those themes in your videos?
Right, good question. So Soul Pleureur is, you know, again, we shot that. Nobody knew us. And that was Vincent Ingres. He did all the videos for us because that was his expertise, right? And, you know, that video, we shot it in Saint Henry, which probably that corner probably doesn't even exist anymore because of the what they did with the Turcotte Yards and stuff. But
Yeah.
so anyways, that so we shot the video, we had the album, and nobody knows us yet, and Music Plus picks up that video and starts pushing it on heavy rotation. All of a sudden they liked it. And around actually just before that, before it made it to Music Plus, we had been on a asked to do a tour with Backstreet Boys. So we had the album ready to go, and right before, so Backstreet Boys, I had done this tour with Shades the year before. Shades did it first, and for some reason, through Fritz Mojil and Tyrone Foster, who was our manager, they knew Donald K. Donald, and they connected Shades to do the opening act for this tour of Quebec, right? And I was lucky enough that they brought me along. So it was me and Storm with four turntables and Shades. We did like
That's
nine shows
nuts.
across Quebec, and Mr. Len was there. And the final show was Bell Center, like 10, 16,000 people or something at the Bell Center. So I'd done it with Shades, right? And then they were coming back, and again, our manager was, you know, same kind of family, really, got Dubmatic to do it the second time. So here we are, we have an album ready, opportunity to get seen by, you know, a million people across Quebec touring with these guys. And we went for it, and this time they were even bigger too. So we did 3 nights at the Bell Center with Dubmatic.
Yeah, because I mean, you gotta take a second to kind of describe this environment.
Yeah.
This is the Backstreet Boys. Nothing to
Yeah.
do with hip hop. You know,
Zero, yeah.
it's a lot of it's mostly, you know, probably 90% young girls who just want to get
Yeah.
go there and scream their heads off and enjoy this boy band.
Yeah.
And then here's this local hip hop group that's
Yeah.
gonna perform before, like with
With
Shades,
no,
with
yeah.
Dubmatique. So
Yeah.
how was that experience, you know?
It was crazy. And no one announcing us. Like the lights drop and we gotta run out on stage and keep them busy for a half hour until the next act comes on. So it was probably some of the best experience for both groups, like to have to do that. Because I remember one show somewhere out in Quebec, maybe in Rimouski or something, because we would play all these hockey arenas in other towns. And then the big cities we would go to, like Bell Center, or there was a Colisée de Quebec we played. So much
Where the
bigger
Nordiques
venues,
used to
right?
play.
Exactly. So I remember one of those towns, after one song, the crowd starts just chanting "Backstreet Boys, Backstreet Boys," and it was with Dubmatic, and we were like looking at each other like, we got to convince these people, man. So yeah, it was look, it was a challenge. Probably some of the best experience for us on stage, because we handled it, both groups handled it very well. And we were able to convince these kids that had no idea who we were to get up and wave your hands in the air for a half an hour with us, you know what I mean? So, and for a lot of them, it was their first glimpse of hip hop, because we had DJ solos going on, some freestyling. Like, it was like, a real introduction to hip hop for a lot of these people. And I remember we were on tour, and one of the final shows at the Bell Center, we Sol Tereur made its first debut on Music Plus, and we were kind of like backstage watching it for the first time while we were on that tour, like wondering, like, because that was like the epitome of the kind of crowds you could actually draw, right? And it was kind of like a dream for us to be like, maybe we could draw these kind of crowds one day, So it was a good kind of opportunity for us, and again, it gave us a lot of like experience, and we were ready for like the next phase.
Les bons moments que nous passâmes ensemble, même s'il nous fallut du temps pour vraiment nous comprendre. Notre histoire débuta bizarrement par une dispute, pour développer une amitié dont la force depuis décupe. Nous avions tant de choses en commun, outre les cours et la musique. Nous aimions le même type de femme, nous battions pour la réussite. Quand j'étais dans le besoin, tu sacrifiais tout pour moi. Si j'ai continué dans cette voie, c'est grâce à toi. Ton support m'était si précieux. Vieux, tu me répétais sans cesse, fais de ton mieux si tu veux, tu peux. Ces quelques phrases résumaient clairement ton attachement. Ta place était parmi nous, mais le destin le prit autrement. Ce fut pour moi d'apprendre que tu ne serais plus là, me questionnant sans cesse, sans comprendre pourquoi la vie nous fait ça. Je fonds en larmes dès que je regarde les photos. Rappelle-toi de notre fugue, qu'est-ce qu'on avait eu chaud. Oh Dieu tout-puissant, donnez-moi la force d'accepter la perte de mon frère. Voyez que mes prières sont plus que sincères, immortalisant à ma façon cet être cher. Mais seuls les mots me restent, comprenez qu'il est normal que je désespère. Rien ne sera plus comme avant, cependant les souvenirs que je garde de toi ne sont que plaisants.
The Community Media Advocacy Center is hosting a series of consultative events titled Building an Anti-Racism Strategy for Canadian Broadcasting. Made possible with support from the Anti-Racism Action Program at Canadian Heritage, these important and timely events will help confront barriers experienced by Black, Indigenous, and people of color in the media.
Events will be hosted in Montreal, Vancouver, Halifax, Calgary, and Winnipeg, culminating in a national conference to be held at Carleton University in Ottawa. These events will host presentations and open forums to develop an anti-racism strategy that will reduce barriers to participation in media and broadcasting policymaking for racialized Canadians.
Register for free to join the event in person at UQAM on Saturday, April the 30th. Presentations start at 10 a.m.
Complete details are online at www.antiracism.media.
This is a CKT co-presentation.
One Stop Caribbean Cuisine is the place to be. The best tasting food, West Indian food. check it out. 334 St. Jacques Street. The one and only. Chef X. And the best. Everyone calling up his name, talking about him. All type of food ready right there. Fish, vegetable, oxtail, curry goat, jerk chicken. That same tasting Caribbean food in a Montreal. And then me go when me left Jamaica. Go there right now. The food delicious, delicious. West Indian Caribbean Cuisine. I will be there. Check it out, check it out.
The following is a previously broadcast program.
There is this thing. Do you realize
consciousness is affected.
There is this thing
on.
There is this thing going on.
What
do you realize?
Our consciousness is affected.
There is this thing going on.
What is called?
The news brought to you live. Live.
Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Off the Hour, right here on CQUT 90.3 FM. We are 14 days into the month of October. We are broadcasting from unceded Mohawk and Anishinaabe territory. You are tuned into The Avalanche, a special presentation of CQUT's Community News Department. The Avalanche seeks to cover issues affecting those with disabilities. I'm your host, Zoe. On today's show, an episode of Alberta Advantage, titled Doctors on Strike, 1962 and the Birth of Canadian Medicare. All that right here on CQUT 90.3 FM. You are listening to The Avalanche, where all abilities are welcome. If you would like to get involved, you can call 514-448-4041, extension 6788, or email news@cqut.ca. You can also follow us on Twitter, @avalanchecqut.